Well, it's just after 2 o'clock now and time for this week's early music show introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Back in the 18th century, what every aspiring dramatist wanted to do was to write a play like those of Euripides or Sophocles in ancient Greece, a tale where some legendary hero, perhaps of noble birth, is seen struggling with great moral dilemmas. A war against a foreign enemy, perhaps, while at the same time agonising how to overcome the subterfuges of a love rival. One figure at the very heart of this classical revivalism was the man known as Metastasio, the leading opera librettist of his day. Born in Rome in 1698, he went on to pen some 30 dramatic texts. Many of them were set by the most celebrated composers in the decades that followed, and none more often than his Artaxerxes, which from its first appearance on the operatic stage in 1730, went on to inspire more than 80 works. I'm going to be dipping into a few of them today, from the very earliest by Leonardo Vinci, to the opera by Domenico Cimarosa more than half a century later. And it's that one we're starting with. Here's the Toronto Chamber Orchestra, directed by Kevin Mallon, with Cimarosa's Overture to Artaxerxes.
Thank you.
the overture to the opera Artaserse by Domenico Cimarosa, first given in 1784 and based on a text by Metastasio. The Toronto Chamber Orchestra was directed by Kevin Mallon. The plots of such operas may sound a bit hackneyed to our modern ears. In this one, Artaxerxes is tasked with avenging the murder of his father, Xerxes. Was the assassin the brother of the woman Artaxerxes is in love with? Is the drink he's offered poisoned? It all ends happily, but Metastasio contrives to hold us in suspense throughout, which is a splendid excuse for a succession of florid and dramatic showpiece arias. We're going to hear one of them in a moment, but first, a word or two about the man himself. Like Voltaire or Molière, Metastasio was actually his professional or stage name, Pietro Antonio Domenico Trapassi, as he was christened, was a well-off young man who took minor orders and worked in the law while gradually finding his true métier as a poet and playwright, and in particular his talent for writing opera libretti. He soon became associated with the Arcadian Academy, a Rome-based literary fraternity dedicated to the purification of poetry along the lines of what they saw as the pastoral simplicities of the ancient world, an influence that pervaded many of his subsequent works. At the age of 32, Metastasio left Rome for what was the great imperial capital of the day, Vienna, where he spent the rest of his long life, but not before he'd completed the text of Artaserse. And the very first of its many settings proved to be the very last opera by that prolific composer of early Baroque operas, Leonardo Vinci. Here's the aria that brings down the curtain on the second act. At last I am alone, reflects Artabano. I must save my son, Arbace, from his fate. Don't worry about exactly who they all are. All the men in this opera have names beginning with A. He then gets agitated. At a sudden flash of lightning, the dazed shepherd falls to the ground, shaken and pale.
Cade, pallido, è smorto il dito, al fulmine improvviso, l'attore Tomastor, così stupisce cade, l'attore Tomastor, l'attomico Tomastor. Così stupisce cade, pallido, è smorto il dito, al fulmine improvviso, l'attomico così stupisce, stupisce, cade, cade, al fulmine improvviso, così stupisce, cade, l'attonico pastor, l'attonico pastor. Così stupisce cade, l'attonico pastor, dice grave, quali voi smorgo il viso, al fulmine improvviso, l'attorito bastor. Al fulmine improvviso, così stupisce cade, così stupisce, stupisce cade, cade. Al fulmine improvviso, così stupisce cade, l'attorito bastor, l'attorito bastor.
Così stupisce e cade, the final aria from Act Two of Artaserse by Leonardo Vinci, given in Rome in 1730. Daniel Baylor was the tenor with Concerto Köln, directed by Diego Fasolis. Vinci's version is the earliest setting of Metastasio's text, which became enormously popular all over Europe. In fact, there was hardly a major composer over the next 50 years who didn't try his hand at setting it. In London, in the 1760s, Thomas Arne's Artaxerxes was given at the Royal Opera in Covent Garden. Arne's version was revived many times in the later decades of the 18th century, and the aria we'll hear next went on to become a favourite recital piece in the 19th century and beyond. The soldier, tired of war's alarms, forswears the clang of hostile arms. Jane Sutherland and Beverly Sills both recorded that. And here it is now as part of a recent recording of the complete opera performed by Elizabeth Watts.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Watts singing the aria "The Soldier Tired of War's Alarms" from Thomas Arne's Artaxerxes, from a complete recording by the Classical Opera Company conducted by Ian Page. Metastasio lived in Vienna until his death in 1782, by which time Mozart, nearly 60 years his junior, was also living in the Habsburg capital. Mozart himself didn't compose yet another Artaxerxes, but as an ambitious young opera composer, there was no way he could have missed the work of the most celebrated of all librettists. Indeed, one of his earliest operas, Il Re Pastore, was based on a Metastasio libretto, as was one of his last, La Clemenza di Tito. And so too was the aria Conservati Fedele, written by the 9-year-old Wolfgang back in 1765, shortly after the family left their sojourn in London to make tracks back to Salzburg. The lyrics he chose to set are the parting verses of Artaxerxes' sister Mandane as she bids farewell to her lover. "Stay and remain faithful. Think how I grieve alone here, and sometimes at least remember me."
See you.
Conservati Fedele by the 9-year-old Mozart, sung by Teresa Berganza with the Vienna Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Judge Fischer. Mozart was, of course, far from the only German-speaking composer to set Italian texts. Indeed, for many, Italian was the language if you were writing an opera. Most of Handel's, after all, had been to Italian texts, as were those of Johann Adolf Hasse. Born in the late 1690s, Hasse was more or less an exact contemporary of Metastasio, and Hasse produced opera after opera to Italian texts, including his own Metastasio-based version of Artaserse, which had its premiere in Venice during the carnival season of 1730 with the castrato Farinelli in the cast. We're going to hear three highlights from it in this next set. The countertenor Jochen Kowalski sings the rather sombre aria Pallido il sole, the sun is pale, death lies in wait, which became one of Farinelli's showpieces. At this point in the plot, Artabano is expressing fear and remorse because his scheme to usurp the Persian throne from its rightful heir has been exposed. And we can hear his nervousness in the restless string accompaniment. After that, Simone Kermes sings another Farinelli aria. Amid so many hundred torments, I tremble, quake, and feel my blood run cold. But first, let's hear Hasse's overture. The middle section of the three has an absolutely gorgeous, gentle kind of minuet feel, but it opens with a sense of upbeat excitement.
Thank you.
music from Johann Adolf Hasse's opera Artaserse, first given in Venice during the carnival season of 1730, making it, alongside the Vinci version we heard earlier, one of the first of the many operas set to Metastasio's libretto. The overture was performed by Les Talents Lyriques, directed by Christophe Rousset. Then Jochen Kowalski sang Palido il Sole with the Radio Symphony Orchestra Berlin, directed by Heinz Fricker. And finally we heard Simone Kermes and La Magnifica Comunità, directed by Isabella Longo. The other great German composer of Italian opera at the time was Karl Heinrich Graun, court composer throughout the 1740s and 50s to the music-loving, flute-playing and notoriously temperamental Frederick the Great. One of the first things Frederick did on becoming king was to establish a new opera house. And since, like Hasse, he thought all good operatic music came from Italy, it was there that he sent Graun in search of the finest singers. Graun duly did his master's bidding, and in 1743 his own Metastasio-based Artaserse had its premiere in Frederick's pride and joy, his new Berlin opera house. Let's hear something from Graun's Artaserse, the aria Sulle Sponde, a call for vengeance following the murder of King Xerxes. It's sung here by Natalie Stutzman. Thank you. Natalie Stutzman and the Hanover Band, conducted by Roy Goodman, with Sul Lisponde from the opera Artaserse by Graun, premiered in Berlin in 1743. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this guided tour across the Metastasian plains. By the time he died in Vienna in 1782, Metastasio had long been revered as the very embodiment of the, by now rather old-fashioned, Arcadian revival of classical poetry and drama, and he remains one of the most frequently set opera librettists ever to have lived. Let's end with Johann Christian Bach, who composed his Artaserse shortly before he came to live in London in the early 1760s. The overture, played by the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Christopher Hogwood.
Thank you.
The Overture No. 3 from Artaxerxes by Johann Christian Bach, ending this week's Early Music Show. It was presented by Lucy Skeeping and the producer was Anthony Sellers. You can download a podcast of that programme from the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. Next Sunday, Lucy explores the history of Britain's first ever subscription concert series, introduced to London by Johann Christian Bach and Carl Friedrich Abel. And that's at the same time, 2 o'clock here on Radio 3. And if you're interested in taking part in an early music show, Lucy Skeeping will be recording a programme next Sunday, that's the 19th of April, at the National Centre for Early Music in York. She'll be joined by Darren Royston, chairman of the Early Dance Circle and dance master of the BBC's Dancing Cheek to Cheek programme, to try out the steps in some popular dances of the medieval period. Tickets to the event are free and are obtainable via the National Centre for Early Music's website, and that is ncem.co.uk. That's ncem.co.uk. Well, I'm joined now by Sarah Moore-Peach, who's going to tell us about the choir at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Hi, Jill. Yeah, well, today on the programme we've got the usual news from the choral world, some new releases. I've got a fantastic recording of a young American singer called Elizabeth Laprelle, who sings a Virginia folk song with members of her family. And we'll also be catching up with a group called Inner Voices, who are a youth choir made up of kids from inner city state schools in London. And then at 5 o'clock, my choral classic is The Ecstatic Gloria by Francis Poulenc. So all that and much more on the choir coming up in just under an hour's time.
Thank you, Sarah. Looking forward to that. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just after 3 o'clock. Time for a sequence for Easter, which was recorded last month in the Temple Church in the City of London and first broadcast last Wednesday. The service is built around the five mystical songs, settings of poems by the 17th century priest and poet George Herbert, composed by Ralph Vaughan Williams between 1906 and 1911. The sequence begins now at the west end of the Temple Church, the Round, where the choir sings a chorus from Handel's Messiah. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
God creates humankind. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of his ribs. And the rib made he a woman, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Thanks be to God.
We are gathered here in this most holy season in the round church of the temple, built to recreate the shape and thereby the sanctity of the place of Christ's own death, burial, and rising, the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. We will hear again the story of Easter, join the disciples in their fear and awe and joy, and discover our own place redeemed from death and unashamed in a world reborn. God in Christ fits us to bear afresh the image of God in which we were made, reopens for us the gates of paradise, and invites us to sit with him and eat. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. At this time of holy joy, we give heartfelt thanks to God for all those who fill our daily lives with love. We pray for those whose lives are afflicted by war and civil strife, and we ask God's blessing on those who devote their lives to relieving need, restoring justice, and promoting peace in the troubled places of the world. We pray for those whom we know whose lives are darkened by sickness or by sorrow. And among those who have died, we remember especially before God those whom we have loved and lost, entrusting them to God's infinite mercy. All these prayers and thanksgivings we raise to God in the name of Jesus Christ and in words which he himself hath taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, who makest all things in love, and hast made them new in Christ, make us, we pray, in this life the faithful gardeners of thy reborn world, that we may be ready to live with thee through all eternity in the paradise of thy heavenly home. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.